I mentioned at the beginning of Mass that the readings may make some people a little uncomfortable this weekend, because they are challenging if we truly listen to them or we read and let them soak in. First reading from Ecclesiastes, written 4 centuries, perhaps late 3 centuries before Jesus was born. And it starts off with vanity, O vanities. It's the very famous phrase, all is vanity. Vanity in the biblical sense means that all of the money, the effort, the energy, the worry that we put into things is all inconsequential. It is of no purpose whatsoever when it comes to us drawing our last breath, the great equaliser. Work away all we like, keep ourselves away from our families, promote ourselves in business and in the world, and then at the unexpected hour, all is gone for others to fight over very often. And why I say to fight over, because it seems to me that most adults here in the church, I'm sure are the same, have at some time or rather in the course of their life either heard or been involved in discussions over inheritance, which leads us into the gospel, of course, where Jesus makes a story. It's just a parable, it's a story about two brothers. And once again, it comes back then to money. Jesus doesn't make a judgment that money and possessions are in themselves evil or bad. In fact, they can be quite the opposite. But it is, his point is, it's what we do with these things. We either possess them or they possess us. And it is the imbalance that is there that he is trying to put some light on, shed some light on to his audience there. When we bring that back into the book from Ecclesiastes there, all is vanity, work all you like, but at the end of the day, we don't know when the hour is going to be. It is very challenging. Even in the last 2 nights I've been dining with friends in the parish, and without my instigation, the conversation has come up completely unplanned about stories of inheritance and wills and families having disagreements through inheritance and estates. Just quite by accident, really. And then the conversation 2 nights ago at one point came up where a group of young men, I'll say, were gathering around and they were having a chat as a result of a young father being killed very suddenly. And the men were there and they actually asked the question, if you had 1 week to live, what would you do? If you knew you had 1 week to live, what would you do? And I'm sure, good men, I'm sure that they didn't know what the readings would be this weekend. They may have, but I doubt it. And that's a question that we could often ask ourselves. If you had 1 week to live, what would you do? And then some of us would come up with novel ideas. Others may take it down a level or up a level, which depending which way you look at it, and really start to look at the priorities in our life. And that's part of what Ecclesiastes is saying there, the priorities in our life. Jesus then says, if your priorities are money or greed of any kind, he actually says, then you've got that wrong. He uses the example of inheritance. Now, the Roman law on inheritance went like this, that there had to be an agreement by the person making the will and the person receiving the will. Both parties had to agree. That's how it worked. In the Hebrew tradition, one son, not the daughter, one son could make a claim on the inheritance. That's why he uses that particular example. And there were obviously 2 sons in this case. And then the second son says to Jesus, tell my brother to give me my share or a share of the inheritance. His brother didn't have to, but it's a good thing to do. But it was so, it's really about the first brother hanging on to everything that he was legally entitled to, though in brotherly love he would or should have shared. And then Jesus responds by saying, "Who made me your arbitrator?" Now, the technical meaning of the word arbitrator is one who divides. And Jesus' point in his gospel, particularly in Luke, is that he's not the arbitrator. He's actually the reconciler. The technical meaning of a reconciler is one who unites. And so Jesus puts the spotlight on the inheritance situation because it is greed that usually divides, and it is generosity that usually helps reconcile. And while he has no monetary value himself, to our knowledge, he possessed extremely little, perhaps only what he wore. And he offered the world something which is completely priceless. But the world didn't see it and still doesn't see it because it's blinded by vanity of vanities, by the blood, the sweat and the tears that goes into creating something around ourselves, particularly in the Western world. We create this something around ourselves that we believe gives us security. And as the boys' conversation said the other night, and as we hear in the readings today, that security is not guaranteed. We don't know the hour when our life is ultimately going to be called upon. An account will need to be given. And what is all of that effort, what happens then? And the situation of families fighting over estates is particularly painful. People are able to forgive, it seems to me, a lack of trust in a relationship easier than what they are being, what they feel is being betrayed when it comes to family inheritances. So the priority is really on the possession. These possessions possess so many of us. And I have to be careful when being up here, because I have to talk to myself first before I talk to you. So anything that I would say to you, I say to myself. And I can tell you right at this moment, within my own family, my family are going through my mother's estate after her recent death. And it's not without its complications. It'd be okay, it's got nothing to do with me. But it's not without its complications, because I've got 5 sister-in-laws. I'll leave it at that. But I'm just saying to you, when I say these things and I talk these things, sometimes I actually know what I'm talking about because I live these things too, in much the same way as yourself, but also in many and varied ways. The stories of people fighting over money, and particularly inheritance, are really, really sad because they are arbitrary. They really do divide, and it causes a lot of pain. In biblical times, and even up to the time of St. Jerome, who was in the 350s AD, when he translated the scriptures into the Latin, Jerome did, even Jerome said that every rich person is a thief, or they have inherited from a thief. The biblical understanding was that there is so much, and if somebody is rich and powerful, then that means somebody is poor and powerless. There is so much. For those who have a lot, that means there are so many who have less. So Jerome even understood, and Aristotle said a similar thing, but Jerome understood that those who have so much, they may not have necessarily stolen it, but they have not equaled out the balance. They have not been generous. And so in the parable that Jesus uses in Luke's gospel today, you'll notice that the man who's made himself wealthy from a good harvest, which he wouldn't have harvested, by the way, somebody else would have done that for him on his land, that he says to himself, "I'm doing so well." You notice the one or the two things that are missing in that conversation. The first thing is that who's he talking to? There is no conversation with God. There is no relationship with God in all of his wealth. And the second thing is that there is no relationship with anybody else either. He doesn't talk to his friends, those who did the labouring in the field for him. Who's he talking to? He talks to himself. He has replaced God, he has replaced the friends and the labourers with himself. And that's what happens when we remove that which is sacred out of our life. We replace it with ourself. And money and wealth and power does that to us. And I think that we really need to be very wary in these days, particularly in Australia, when there could be, it could be seen that there's a sense of removing that which is godly, that which is sacred in our nation. I see a trend happening there. If we remove God from our statutes and our laws, what are they going to replace it with? You can bet it will be replaced with something like power or wealth or money or an individual. That's extremely unhealthy, and that's exactly what Jesus is saying. Don't do that. Have the relationship with God. Make that rich. From that, all other good things will flow. Some of you will have read the book The Little Prince. Very, very famous book. It's full of much, much wisdom. But towards the end of that book, there's one line in it that rings so true to us, I think, today in light of the challenges before us with vanity and with handling possessions. And he says, "When your last hour strikes, count only what you have become. When your last hour strikes, count only what you have become."